Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we're going to take a little trip to San Miguel de Allende, Mexico, and we have our guest, Mick Lockie. We'll tell you a little bit about Mick. Mick Lockie retired since 2017. He lives in San Miguel de Allende, located in the central highlands of Mexico and 3.5 hours north of Mexico City in the state of Guanajuato. The city sits on a bed of rose quartz, and the local legend is that this affords San Miguel magical qualities. Often called El Corazón de México, San Miguel is a colonial gem featuring old world Spanish architecture, cobblestone streets, and a grand pink neo-Gothic cathedral. Readers from Travel and Leisure magazine have voted San Miguel de Allende one of the most beautiful cities in the world. Mick is from the San Francisco Bay Area, first San Francisco, then Oakland, having worked in high tech, publishing, cable TV broadcasting, and a variety of editing and writing stints in banking, insurance, and website development. San Miguel is a favored spot for expats from around the world, approximating 10% of the city's 160,000 residents. The city offers a relaxed, gracious style of living with fine dining, art galleries and boutiques, and a variety of opportunities to socialize. The weather is mostly temperate year-round. The cost of living is considerably lower than the U.S. and Canada, although with inflation, prices are rising for everything from housing to food costs. Traditionally a place for retired expats, San Miguel is enjoying popularity among young families and digital nomads. LGBTQ Out magazine has called San Miguel the new queer oasis. San Miguel does have a gay community with a small annual gay pride parade, but the community is integrated well within the larger culture. With that, Mick, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, Mick, tell us, why did you choose San Miguel as a city in Mexico? And where you said you were originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. What made you decide to move to San Miguel de Allende in Mexico?
Well, I like to say that I think San Miguel chose me. In 2016, I decided I would take a year off from my job. And while I was during that year, I was looking for different places to visit. And for some reason, the Google algorithm kept showing San Miguel de Allende. And I started looking at it, watching YouTube videos, and I thought, gosh, I'm going to go down and check it out. I had been to Mexico City before, also Oaxaca, but I had never been to San Miguel. So anyway, I decided I was going to check it out. So I came down, I booked a 10-day trip, came down during part of the rainy season. And as soon as I got here, I fell in love with it, which is kind of a common story. And I went back to California after my stay. I went back to California, sold everything. And in 6 months, I was back in San Miguel, renting an apartment, looking for a property to buy.
Wow.
So it's been almost, I'm going on 6 years now being here. I have a new house and I really love living here. It's quite an experience from California.
Wow. It's like love at first sight. You go down.
It was.
It's so difficult because people go on vacation and they're in that vacation mode. And then you look at a place and you're like, wow, I want to live here. Mm-hmm. But to actually do it and and just say, I'm going to do it, I think that's great. I mean, it's like you're always now you're on vacation all the time.
Right, Yeah. Well, the honeymoon's a little over.
Yeah.
But I surprised myself. It took a lot of courage to do that, especially because I didn't know anybody here. I knew one person here, and she was my Airbnb host. But it's very, very easy to meet people here. One of the accolades that San Miguel gets is that it's one of the friendliest cities in the world.
Wow.
And I found that to be true. It's very easy to meet people here. And I think as long as you kind of put yourself out there a little bit and make it easy for people to get to know you, then people will gravitate toward that.
I bet you they gravitated towards you. I bet you like the mayor now, the mayor of San Miguel.
Well, I'll tell you a little story. I live on a street named after a rebellious nun in the 16th century. She was a thorn in the religious orthodoxy. There was rumor that she was a lesbian, that she wrote romantic poetry to women, rapturous poetry. So when I moved here, I decided to put a mural of her life on my house to kind of honor the street name, Sor Juana Inez de la Cruz.
That's so cool.
Well, after the mural was complete, the artist and I decided to have a party. And I had been here about a year. And when I was making out the guest list, I was surprised to learn that I had met about 75 or 80 people in that year.
Wow.
And I actually had to cut down the guest list a bit because I couldn't fit all those people in my courtyard.
But it
just goes to show you, if you put yourself out there and be friendly toward people, they will respond in kind.
Be friendly to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a great story. That really is a great story. It takes a lot of, I'm going to say, balls to move on your own without knowing anybody, but you did it.
Well, I think I was ready for a move. I was ready for something different. I had worked many years, probably over 40 years, if I count my little high school jobs. And I was just ready for something different. And yeah. I could take early retirement. I had the 401k and the Roth and all that.
Yeah.
And I thought, what the hell are you waiting on?
That's right. What are you waiting for?
I kept thinking, well, should I do it now? Should I wait? Should I wait for Social Security? All of this. When I got to San Miguel and saw those cobblestone streets, I was like, oh my God, it was love at first sight.
And
if you like Spanish architecture, this place is like a gold mine.
Wow.
People have told me, oh, it's like, this is really what old Spain looks like. The haciendas, the churches, the old churches. It's really quite beautiful to get out and walk around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those places I'm going to have to visit.
Yeah. Aesthetically, it's a very pleasing city. And my story of coming here, visiting, and on a whim decide to move here is not uncommon.
Yeah, I can imagine.
People do it all the time.
I could imagine. Hey, you know what? Life's too short.
Right, exactly.
Life is too short.
Yeah.
But if it's something that you want to do, by all means, I'm always for it. Do it.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, time is so precious.
Yes.
It really is.
It is. And you know what? You just chalk it up as a chapter, another chapter in life.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the location and geographically speaking. Where is San Miguel located within Mexico?
It is right in the center of the country, and people call it the heart of Mexico, both geographically and metaphorically. It's one of the most, I found later, unique cities in Mexico because of its architecture. It draws a huge tourist population on the weekend, mostly Mexicans, by the way, because this was one of the sites of the Mexican revolutions. And Mexicans are very proud of their history and their traditions. So on historical dates, this place is packed. It's at a high elevation, about 7,000 feet. So it's even a little bit higher than Denver. So it takes a couple of weeks to get acclimated.
To get used to the altitude. Mm-hmm. So it kind of sounds like Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's high up there. So
once you get used to the altitude, it's not a problem. But some people do have problems adjusting to it.
So you're in the middle of the country.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So
it's very centrally located.
Is it dry, humid?
It's mostly dry. The weather it's not humid. It's very dry, particularly now during May and June. It's very hot. It can get up into the 90s, but it's very dry. And because it's in the mountains, it can get kind of dusty too. But fortunately, after May, the rains come in June and July, and it can rain every day in the afternoon. Sometimes these really huge downpours. They don't last long, probably 2 or 3 hours, but they really clean up the air in the streets. And so it's really a welcome respite from the heat. During January and February, it can get down to 35, but it warms back up into the 60s. During January, February, and March. April is pretty good. That's when the jacarandas bloom, which are quite beautiful. I don't know if you know what a jacaranda tree is, but they're originally from Japan, but they have these beautiful purple flowers. And those bloom in April. So overall, it's a temperate climate. There's not anything too extreme. September, October, and November are very nice. The evenings are cool. You can wear a jacket out, but that's about it. It doesn't get overly cold. Generally speaking, the weather is one of the high points here, I think. And people comment how much they enjoy the weather here.
So you're in the middle of the country.
Yep.
So of course you don't have any beach. So
no. Yeah,
it's, what is it, like 3 or 4 hours to the
No, beach? It's more than that. If you go to Puerto Vallarta or even south, I believe, I've never been because I don't really like the beach. But if you like beach gay life, Puerto Vallarta is a great place. Always lots of parties, but it's about an 8-hour drive.
Oh, wow. That's far.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and most people take a plane.
Right. Okay. So, is living in an LGBTQ community important to you? And is there such a thing in San Miguel?
For me personally, no. Being around, having a huge community, say like San Francisco did, where you could go to gay shops and have a lot of gay contact.
It's not the gayborhood.
Yeah, the gayborhood. San Miguel does not have a gayborhood, and it's got a fairly small gay community. But from what I've seen, it's very, very well integrated in the larger culture. So there's almost like not a need for a specific gay community because people just hang out together
and get along.
Yeah, it's not an issue. There aren't even any gay bars here.
There are none?
None. I've heard there were a couple of attempts, but they all failed. Because I think there's not really, the gay bars were a place for where gay people could be themselves. And I think, especially now, being gay is kind of mainstream. And here in San Miguel, it's got like an international and cosmopolitan population among the expats. So nobody gives a shit.
Right.
We all hang out together pretty much.
That's nice.
However, there are drag shows that abound. There used to be a drag queen bingo that helped some of the nonprofits. Monday, I'm supposed to go with a friend to a drag comedy show at one of the restaurants. So that should be fun. I'm sure they'll be poking fun at us expats.
Oh, yeah.
so that should be fun. We have that. And there is a monthly meetup group that these two guys started. The last guest list I saw was 75 people, and they were going to a winery that was just out of town for wine tasting and a dinner. And those two guys host events, once a month events, usually at a restaurant, or they'll go to a winery or some other group activity.
Is that for the gay community or for everyone?
For the gay community. It's specifically for the gay community.
Okay.
And it's usually a mixture of married couples, partners, single guys, just a mixture of everybody, really.
Gotcha.
So those are good. There used to be, before the pandemic, there was another social group that was a little bit smaller, and that they also met at a restaurant too. And so there are opportunities to mix and mingle with the gay community.
Yeah.
But when I go out, I'm as gay guys, it's lesbians, it's straight people. It's like nobody really cares.
Cares. That's great. That's the way it should be, Mick.
Yeah, I think so too.
How about language? Do you have to speak Spanish? I know in a lot of these cities, it's very helpful. Some are a must, and yet some are, since San Miguel is like international, I would think that a lot of people speak English.
Is that true? Sometimes you can hear more English than you can Spanish walking down the street. You do not need to know Spanish living here. If you do speak some Spanish, you'll have a richer experience.
Right.
But for the most part, you can get by without speaking Spanish. Since moving here, my Spanish has really gotten a lot better. I used to be terrified of getting in a cab, trying to articulate directions.
Yeah, we go.
Yeah. But I've gotten a lot better, and I think my survival skills are much better than what they used to be. And I can do small talk with the cab drivers and the shopkeepers, and my housekeeper is a great resource. She's always, no, Señor Miguel. She'll correct my Spanish. So that's nice.
How about healthcare? Like when you go into a doctor's office, or God forbid, you have to go into the emergency room in the hospital, do the doctors and staff of healthcare facilities, do they speaking?
Depending on the facility, some doctors, well, I would say a lot of doctors speak English, especially in the hospitals here that cater to expats. A lot of people pay for healthcare out of pocket because it's so inexpensive. I think a doctor's visit is like $40. My dentist, to have a dental cleaning, is $40. A friend of a friend who had total complete knee surgery and reconstitution, I think that's what you call it, for I think her bill she said was $20,000. So a lot of people pay out of pocket. There is, if you are a resident, you can get on the public health system, and that doesn't cost anything. It's called INSABI. But the problem with it is that it's socialized medicine, and they basically tell you where to go, when to go.
And there are long waits, right?
Yes, and sometimes there are long waits. So a lot of the expats just pay out of pocket. You can get a health insurance policy, but the older you are, the less likely it will cover any kind of pre-existing condition. And it's expensive. I had a friend a few years ago. She and her husband had an insurance policy. She came down with breast cancer, and the insurance policy would not cover anything. They ended up going back to the States to take care of that problem.
But the public should cover that, the public health care.
Right.
Yeah,
they were residents, but they weren't on, they weren't officially enrolled
in the public
in the program.
Gotcha.
So there are three. There are one for Mexican nationals and workers. There is one that you can pay into, and then there's another one called INSABI, which is the free. I will say, in terms of HIV care, that is considered a right here. So HIV care does not cost anything. You can get medication, blood work, lab work, follow-up care. All of that stuff is free.
That's great. Good to know. Very good to know. So is it easy or difficult, would you say? I guess it's easy for you to make friends. And you said, as far as putting yourself out, I guess that's, you have to be somewhat outgoing in order to do that.
Well, I would not consider myself an extrovert. I was a writer. A writer and editor. So those are pretty solitary professions. But when you are forced to do it, you find whatever it is you need to do it.
So Mick, you didn't stay in your house. You just said, you know what? One day I'm going to go out. I'm going to go out to a bar. I'm going to meet some people, right?
Well, how I met people was through volunteer work. Well, that was one way. I met a lot of people that way. Another way I met people was just talking to people in the line at the grocery store or at the vegetable market. You can pretty much tell an expat. You just strike up a conversation, and before you know it, you're going out to lunch the next week, you know, or they're inviting you over for their house for dinner, or they're going to a concert and want to know if you want to come along.
That's great. Would you say most of the expats are American?
I would say it's probably, the Canadians, a lot of them only spend 6 months out of the year here.
Because it's too cold up there in the winter.
Well, I think one of the bigger reasons is because of the healthcare. They have to be in Canada for, I believe it's 183 days.
Yeah.
So I have friends, a gay couple, who go back to Canada. They're here for 6 months, then they go back to Canada.
They don't want to give up their health care.
No. I would say the American expats who are here, most of them are full time. But there are others that come here for 3 or 4 months and go back. And
I wonder what Canadians do. So they go back because of the healthcare. What happens if something here? So I'm sure they're not in the healthcare system here. And if something happens here, what happens? They fly back.
They just go back to Canada. There is a company here. They will provide emergency airlift back to the States or Canada based on your policy, if something happens.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So some expats have, generally speaking, healthcare is a lot more affordable.
Yeah.
Blood work. If I recall, the last time I had blood work in the state, a complete panel, it was something like maybe $350. Here it's like 60, maybe 65.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And you don't need a doctor to prescribe it for you. And a lot of people, you have to keep your medical records with you. You make copies of your medical records. And then when you go to the doctor, you have this huge folder with
My God.
Medical records. and he might ask you for,
that's, you know, crazy.
Well, what was your blood work last year?
Oh, so
kind of filter through the papers.
Sheesh.
But you can go in and you can go and have any kind of test you want. Really, you don't need a doctor. You don't need a doctor's prescription for it.
Incredible. So tell us about the local economy. Is it, can you provide examples of like housing costs, cost of living, rental versus buying a condo or a house, what the average electric bills, water bills, gas and taxes are like, something like?
Okay. When I first moved here, I rented an apartment, a condo in a gated community. I had a 2-bedroom, 1-bath place. The rent was $625, and that included everything, the lights, water, gas, internet, cable, once a week cleaning service, all of that was included. You can still find something that cheap, although they're getting rarer and rarer. Typically, depending on the area, if you live in the centro, you're going to pay a little, you're going to pay a premium for that. You can rent a nice 2-bedroom, 2-bath place, fully furnished with all utilities, for about $1,000 in the centro. Wow. Out in the neighborhoods, it's a little bit less expensive. You can find something similar for $700 or $800.
Wow.
Housing, to buy a house, they start at around $200. That's about, I think that's about as cheap as you're going to get.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be, a $200 is not in the centro. It's going to be out in one of the neighborhoods. If you're buying in the centro, you're going to be paying at least $350 for maximum 2-bedroom, 2-bath. Condo fees are very cheap here. The complex I was in, the monthly HOA fees were $50.
And that,
included everything. That included courtyard maintenance, if anything happened.
Water, sewer.
The guys, if you wanted to rent out the place, the guys would help you do it. They'd give the tenant keys and all of that. So the HOA fees are really, really inexpensive. I will say that there is a lot of real estate development here. And there's some concern about the water situation. They're building a lot of big luxury hotels here, a lot of real estate development. And people are asking, well, where's all the water coming from? Because we get our water from an aquifer, and it's getting lower and lower. And the lower it gets, the more arsenic and minerals are in that water.
So you're under drought?
No, not really.
You're just running out of water like everybody.
What they're doing, they're building rain catchment facilities, and that'll help. And they'll probably end up doing what Mexico City does, which is the trucks with the potable water will go to the neighborhoods. And that's where you'll get your water, or at least supplement. Utilities are very inexpensive because they are subsidized by the government. My utility bill is, I get it every other month, and it averages about $12 for every other month. Water is about, my last bill was 179 pesos, which is about $8.
Wow.
And that's...
Your electricity is that low?
Yeah, my electricity is about $12 for every other month. Because
do you use air conditioning?
No. You don't really need it. People do.
Oh, really?
But Mexico has this policy that if you go over a certain amount, you'll get into a different pay tier and you'll pay triple what your bill is usually. Hmm. And then you will be penalized for 6 months for going over.
Wow.
So it kind of encourages you to conserve. Not to.
So if you don't need it, you don't use it. Do you have it?
Air conditioning? No, I've been thinking of getting something called a splitter to put in my bedroom at night, which will cool it down, because I have a two-story casita and all the heat rises up.
Yeah.
So in the evening, it's hot up there.
Yeah.
And part of the other problem too is on the top of my roof, I have a dark colored, what do you call it? It protects the top of the house from cracks and leaks.
Mm-hmm.
So when the heavy downpours, it doesn't leak. But leak. That dark sealant attracts the heat.
The heat, yeah.
So I'm having one of my projects after it stops raining is to reseal all that with a white paint so it doesn't absorb the heat. Gas, propane, that's my biggest utility because I cook a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it quite a bit. That is about $30 a month.
Still and very reasonable.
I have like a little standalone tank out in the courtyard. And whenever I see the guys with the truck, it's like, oh, can you come over and fill my tank up?
So Mick, coming from San Francisco Bay Area, where it's very expensive, coming here to San Miguel might be considered more expensive than a lot of other towns in Mexico.
It is a little more expensive.
But compare it to San Francisco, and it's pretty... There's a big difference.
Oh yeah, there's a huge difference. Especially when I first moved here, boy, I'm telling you, I spent, when I was in California, I probably spent $6,000-$7,000 a month. Here, I live off Social Security, and while I have investment accounts and all of that, I have not really used it. I don't really need it.
And
I've lived here 6 years. So those investments have continued to grow. So that's a good thing. If I were in California, I calculated, wow, I'm probably going to last 10 or 15 years and then I'm going to be broke. And that was one of the reasons why I left California. Because it was so economically, it was so stressful to live there. And you had to have a high paying job to have any kind of middle class life.
Right. That's how it was in New York for me.
Uh-huh.
I lived in New York.
Yeah. And the same thing. I mean, those cities have great things to offer, but holy cow, you really do.
You pay for it.
So, and I have those things here just to a lesser degree.
Right.
I found like the last 2 or 3 years that I lived in the Bay Area, I went to the ballet less often or went to the opera or whatever. I stopped going as much as I used to.
Yeah, same in New York, going to theater. Theater is, mm-hmm. you're going to pay over $100 for a ticket.
Absolutely.
And after a while, you just have to calm down with that.
Right.
But now I'm in Phoenix. And it's a lot more reasonable going down the block to the Phoenix Theater and seeing live performances as well. But of course, it's not Broadway, but it's still good and it's enjoyable.
Right.
So
in Phoenix, I pictured you next to Radio City Music Hall.
So, I grew up in New York City, born in Brooklyn, and most of my adult life, I was living and working in New York City, or in the area, or with a commute. But in 2014, we moved to Florida.
Mm.
And that's when Where Do Gays Retire Facebook group was born, because I was like, I moved to Florida, but I don't think it was quite the place for us. So we wound up moving from Florida 4 years later to Phoenix, which we really enjoy living here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's when Where Do Gays Retire was born. And later, much later on, I just started the podcast, doing the podcast about a year ago. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Is it true that a lot of New Yorkers move to Florida? Is that
they do? True. That's their migration. Mm. It's easy. It's straight down south. Mm. So most New Yorkers, I think, wind up in Florida. Not sure about right now, what, you know, as far as the politics are considered. Right. So I think the gay community is thinking twice about that right now.
Mm. Well, didn't he just sign a bill? An anti-gay medical
bill? Medical bill, yeah.
Medical conscience bill? That is,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. One thing that I've noticed in San Miguel is that there have been a lot of different kinds of people moving here, not just expats, retired expats, but young people, young families. On the Facebook groups, I see postings all the time for families looking for schools or mm-hmm. you know, where they should settle and that kind of yeah. thing. I did not see that when I first moved here. And also, yeah. I see more gay people around town holding hands. They can do that here. People don't wig out.
Right.
So, and a lot of, there's kind of, with the city being on the courts, there's kind of like a hippie healing community here mm-hmm. where people are into quartz and yoga and vegan. There are like a ton of new vegan restaurants. So there's that community too.
Sounds like the new California.
Yeah. I even saw a class for macrame. So there you go.
So tell us about arts and culture. Does it exist in San Miguel?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Can you get your fix of theater?
Oh, well, not to the degree of San Francisco or New York, but it is here. There is a lot of culture here. Once a year, there is a huge international writers conference where writers from all, recognizable writers from all over the world come and give presentations, classes, all sorts of things. That's in the month of February. This year, I believe Margaret Atwood was one of the featured speakers. So that was kind of a big deal. There are some classical music festivals, one called Pro Musica, which is pretty much maybe January, I want to say to September, that caters to Canadians. Mm-hmm. There's another chamber music festival in August, which is the second oldest music festival in Latin America. They bring really famous string quartets. And I was a volunteer for that festival, music festival for 3 years. And they bring people who have played at Carnegie Hall in Italy, mm-hmm. just really high-end, really high-quality musicians.
Nice.
And they love to play this festival because the festival, they didn't demand a certain repertoire from them. They could play anything they wanted. So they were keen on doing experimental works, trying out new things. So it was really popular among quartets, string quartets. There are a lot in all of the restaurants. There are people who come and sing.
I was going to say outside. Do they have, like, a lot of places in Mexico, they have these outside concerts.
Mm-hmm. They did just last weekend, they had a huge Mother's Day concert with a couple of famous Mexican city, and the place was packed. They do outdoor concerts. There's no really big performance hall, but they're thinking of building one What else is there culturally?
Do they have any type of museums?
They have a few, but it's mostly related to San Miguel history. Not any real big ones. There are a ton of art galleries.
Right.
There's a place called Fabrica Aurora, which used to be a textile mill. And that is kind of an arts painting and sculpture complex. That's very popular. Once a month, they have something called Friday Art Walk, and all the artists open up their gallery. There's food and snacks and wine, and they talk about their art. That's once a month. Great. A lot of people do that. That's a great way to socialize.
Yeah.
Theater, there are two or three small theater groups here, but in all honesty, the quality isn't New York, not San Francisco. It's kind of like a step above community theater. Yeah. Some of them are absolutely
spoiled.
Horrible, but others are pretty good. They had a production of Long Day's Journey Into Night in Mexican subtitles in English. They had another play similar that was really good. Others, you kind of want to walk out because they're not that great.
Can you see a movie in English?
Yeah, there's a cinema, a little cinema called Baco Cinema. It's in a little room off of an Italian courtyard restaurant, and they have foreign films, usually first run or almost run. They're probably 6 or 7 months old. There's a huge movie complex in one of the malls. That's where you can see all the big Batman, Marvel, those kinds of movies.
Are they in English or Spanish?
They're in English with Spanish
subtitles.
They have programs for English and Spanish, but the English ones are subtitled in Spanish. And I have to tell you, if you have a senior discount, which I do, your ticket is like $2.25.
Oh my God. It's like when I was 9 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really funny. Inexpensive to go to the movies.
That's funny.
Yeah, there's lots of
arts and culture.
Yep, there's Day of the Dead, which is huge. A huge lot of stuff going on, parties, galleries, opportunities to dress up, and it's really a big to do.
Sounds like fun. How about, okay, are you a foodie? I know you like food and healthy.
I do.
What's the restaurant scene like in San Miguel? Since it's international, I'm sure it's really good.
You have everything from street tacos to like five-star fancy rooftop dining. There are new, last I read, there were over 1,000 restaurants in San Miguel, which is pretty remarkable.
That's a lot.
Its size. But yeah, you can find stuff in any kind of category, great food, kind of fusion food where they blend Mexican and other cuisines together. There are like American style steakhouses. There's
can
one
you get called, like Italian? Can you get Thai?
You can get Thai. There's a great little Thai restaurant that's in a basement that you have to walk down. Very cute. There's a Lebanese restaurant, which is pretty good. There is several Italian restaurants. One darling little one is hidden in like a little courtyard. It's had really good. They make their pasta there. There are a few French restaurants, and of course, fancy gourmet Mexican stuff.
I was going to say, but do they have Mexican?
Right. Yeah, and you can eat cheaply. There is, if you eat tacos, you can get three or four for 50 pesos, which
How much
is 50 about
pesos?
$2, $2, and that's plenty.
That's crazy.
You'll be stuffed after that. Yeah. But you can also We went to New Year's Eve. We went to a fancy restaurant and we spent some bucks at that place. Of course, we had champagne and wine and all of that stuff. So,
and how much did that cost?
I didn't pay for it, but I estimated it was probably about 500 bucks.
Okay, that's a lot. For how many people?
It's for four of us.
Oh, that's not a lot.
No. But I mean, by San Miguel.
Right, San Miguel's prices, yes.
Real prices.
But New York prices.
We had champagne and wine and cocktails and appetizer, main course, dessert. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I didn't have to pay for it. It was
now my mouth is watering. So, okay, so.
Yeah, it's a great food scene.
It's a great foodie place.
Great little restaurants. There's one called Rustica. They're really popular. They have really, really creative food. The stuff they do with their food is just amazing. And they're so nice. The owners are Mexican. They were trained in Mexico City in one of the big cooking schools. But they do terrific food. It's so good. It's kind of a Mexican-American. There's another place, this guy and his wife, they make the most delicious empanadas. And they just have like a little storefront with a commercial oven. And you just walk by and he usually has a cheese and a fruit and a meat. And they're lovely. They're lovely people. So you can buy very cheap or very expensive.
I'm glad I have cholesterol medicine. All right. Great. Tell us about, does San Miguel have any public transportation? Can you get around? Let's say you lived in around the city center. Can you walk to everything? Is everything pretty much walkable, like the market, the pharmacy?
If you live in the centro, everything is walkable. In fact, there's like a maybe 6 or 7 block radius where cars are not allowed. So it's all pedestrian.
That's great.
You can pretty much walk to the market without seeing any cars. Although the traffic is horrendous on the weekends. It's really quite backed up. A lot of people take taxis, the green taxis. They're about 70 pesos in town. If you get, that's about $3.50. You go, if you take a taxi to like the big mall outside of town, that's 100. If you take a taxi from the center of town to one of the big grocery stores, that's about 80 pesos. If you want to live like a local and ride the bus, which I do quite a lot, it's 8 pesos.
I was going to ask, do you have a car?
50 cents. Yeah, I do have a car.
Okay.
And a lot of people say, oh, God, you don't need a car in San Miguel. Well, that's true, you don't. But I like it for the convenience.
Yeah, and, you don't want to be lugging stuff from the supermarket or the grocery store.
Right. I mostly use it for grocery store hauls. I drive it to Querétaro to go to the big fancy mall in Querétaro.
Oh, how far is Querétaro?
That's about 45 minutes.
Okay, that's not
bad.
But
the mall, that's a big bustling industrial center. And they have a lot of expats live there, Asian expats, because there are a lot of, what do you call it, semiconductor firms. German go there to work. There's a huge mall. It's one of the biggest in Latin America.
Hmm.
So sometimes we'll make a day trip and go up there and shop and look around. But there's
like big box stores there?
Yeah. Not in San Miguel, but in Querétaro there is, and Celaya.
Like Costco?
There's Costco. I have a Costco card, but I've never used it. But Costco, Home Depot, wow. Best Buy. What's the other big one? I'm forgetting. Costco, Home Depot.
Oh, Lowe's.
Lowe's. I'm not sure about Lowe's. I don't know that I've seen a Lowe's.
Maybe not.
Oh, yes. I'm sure there's a Lowe's. I just haven't seen it. IKEA, that's in Mexico City.
Yeah, that's big everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So there is heavy traffic.
There's.
And how far are you from the airport? Where do you fly into?
You have two options. You can fly into Lyon, or you can fly into Querétaro. Both of those are about the same distance from San Miguel, about 45 minutes. And usually you just take a shuttle into town. You can hire a private driver. They'll come out and meet you and bring you back to San Miguel. But most people do it's called the Bajigo shuttle. And if you get a shared shuttle, it's about $40 one
day.
So there have been talks about having an airport in San Miguel, but it hasn't really materialized yet.
Are the Querétaro and the other airport, are they international airports or are they just local Mexico?
That's a good question. No, they fly to Mexico City.
Okay.
And then you connect.
And from Mexico City, you connect.
Yeah. Or you go to Houston, connect in Houston or Dallas or San Diego.
Okay.
But all the flights I've seen, like to Spain or France, you go through Mexico City.
Through Mexico City. Makes sense. Makes sense. Okay.
I think the flights out of those two airports are more expensive than if you just went to Mexico City and flew out there. That's what I typically do.
Right.
I just take the bus to Mexico City, spend the night, and then go to the Mexico City airport.
Gotcha. So are there any parks around, like big type of parks or fitness clubs?
There's one botanical, very large botanical garden that's very nice, very walkable. It's got a lot of native flora and a lot of cactus and that kind of stuff, succulent kinds of plants.
Mm-hmm.
Around the neighborhoods, there's a beautiful park called Benito Juarez. It's pretty large. You could probably, I don't know, maybe spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes walking through there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another gorgeous little park called Guadiana Park, which a lot of dog owners take their dogs there. Really cute little thing. They have brick pathways, and when your pet passes away, you can buy a little brick inlay and write like a memorial for your pet. It's so sweet. And so that's a nice park, Guadiana. See Benito Juarez, the botanical garden. Those are the three that I go to. Those are the only ones that I know of. But each neighborhood, like in my neighborhood, there's not a park. Let's see.
How about fitness clubs?
Fitness,
go to the gym?
There are two fitness clubs. One is more expensive than the other. Wolf Gym, which is in a neighborhood called San Antonio. A lot of people go there. A lot of expats go there. I think it's 500 pesos per month, which is about 25, 30 bucks. There's another one called Boom Fitness, was just on the outskirts of town. That's a little more expensive, but it's a bigger gym and they have more equipment than the Wolf. Wolf Gym is owned by a San Miguel family. They've had it. They speak English. They've had it for many years. I see personal fitness. I used to go to Wolf until the pandemic closed. And then I started seeing one of the trainers who worked there.
Mm-hmm.
So he has his own little studio, his like gym studio. And I go there four times a week to lift.
You go, boy.
Lift weights. Yeah.
Oh, you're looking good. Yeah, look at that.
So yeah, Luis is just great. He's just,
Mick, are you single?
Is he single?
No. Are you single?
Oh, am I single? Yes.
All right.
There's somebody.
All right, everybody. Mick got his guns out. And
there
I don't
is
mean
somebody in Mexico kind. City that I see when I go up there, but it's not anything serious. But yeah, I see Luis 4 times a week. He's just raised his rates in January. He charges 400 pesos for an hour session, which is about 20 bucks, 20, 25 bucks.
That's pretty reasonable.
So, and he's great.
That's great.
Easy on the eyes too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
I can barely keep my eyes on the barbell. So he's very nice, and he's got a couple of other gay clients. So
gotcha.
He's very nice.
Sounds good. Tell us about the crime. Everybody talks about crime in Mexico like there's no crime in the States, which is pretty funny. But is there any crime in San Miguel?
There is petty crime. People breaking into houses. There is very random and very sporadic drug-related crime. I'm not going to call it cartel crime because I think maybe San Miguel is too small for that. And plus, the rumor has it is that cartel members have houses here, so they don't want it. They don't want to mess up.
Right.
But the crime that is here is usually between two gangs. Or if somebody is involved in drugs, doesn't pay their bill, or for whatever reason, just a couple of weeks, there was a man and his baby that were gunned down after they came out of his house.
Ooh.
And that was big news because a baby was shot, and that is almost heard of here. In fact, it's like...
Was it drug related?
That's what everybody says.
Wow.
Killing a kid here is unconscionable. Unlike the States where it's almost a...
It's a daily thing.
But everybody... And it's few and far between. I walk around at night all the time up until 11 o'clock. I mean, I don't have any problem with it. I wouldn't recommend a single woman doing it, just practicality.
Yeah. I was going to say, if I go out and need to walk my dog at 2 a.m, will I feel safe and around my home? Oh, there's a question there.
I don't think I would do it.
Okay.
Depending on what neighborhood you lived in.
Okay.
I was hoping at 2 a.m. you'd be asleep.
You know what? I normally am. For me personally, yeah, by 10 o'clock, I'm out like a light. So, but if my dog had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, am I gonna get?
It'll be so quiet. Then everybody's asleep, including the criminals.
Okay.
But it does crime there. I mean, just like everywhere, there is crime. I wouldn't say when I lived in Oakland, my next door neighbor walked out of the building and someone put a gun to his head, wanting all of his iPhone, wallet, everything. And that was in broad daylight, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I don't think it's not that level, but you know, there is some crime here. There used to be, there's a group of three Mexicans during crowded times, one of them will squirt mustard on your lapel or the back of your, say you're wearing a jacket or something. Mm-hmm. Then they'll come up to you and say, oh, I think a bird pooped on your back jacket here. Let me help you. So they'll start rubbing. And meanwhile, the two other people are picking your pocket.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's one little scam that people
have to be aware of what's going on. I'm like Don't touch me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How about the homeless? Is there a homeless population? None at all?
No, because I think Mexicans really revere family life.
Yes.
So if you're down, and even with mental illness, there are resources to treat it. But people take in their relatives, and often three or four generations live together. The only people I see on the street are the elderly women who shroud themselves with blankets so that they're hidden, and they'll have their hand out for money. Mm. Those are the only, and I don't think they're homeless. They're just trying to make
some money.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. There's no.
So yeah, no, there's not. There is not.
Okay.
Anywhere. Well, last time I was in Mexico City, I did see more homeless people.
Okay.
Here, no. Guys, I just think people take care
of everybody, family. Of their family. Yeah, because mm-hmm. family is very important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just like it's similar to Europe. So.
Oh, is that how it is in Europe?
Oh, yeah. Spain especially.
Uh-huh.
They're very, very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. What do you wish that were in San Miguel that you don't have that you may have elsewhere? Is there anything that you miss?
Let me think. I would like to have a better... I wish there were ballet here. I love ballet.
Okay.
I studied ballet when I was a kid and danced in a couple of ballets. So I really love ballet. Mm-hmm. They don't have that here. I really, really miss that. I miss the quality of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I miss that. What else do I miss? I don't miss much.
Okay. That means you're having a good time. So that's fine.
You know, I can always go back to the States and go to the ballet or go to the opera or whatever.
Right, get your fix that
get
way.
Get my fix. And I have done that.
When was the last time you went back?
Let me think. When was it? I went back, not to California, but to see my family in Charleston last year. And the year before that, I was spent about 6 weeks in San Francisco. And then I'm visiting friends and doing those things like.
How long ago was it?
The year before last in San Francisco. Last year was in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
Where my family lives.
Gotcha. So.
But I'm due for a trip. In fact, I think I might be going back in December. I'm going to trade places with somebody in California. He's going to stay in my house here, and I'm going to stay in his apartment.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, so we did that a couple of years ago. It worked out quite well.
Yeah. So do you know how to obtain a visa to become a resident?
Yeah. You start at the consulate where you live. You start the process outside of Mexico. You go to the consulate. There's a form that you fill out, and there are financial requirements that you have to meet, financial solvency requirements. Mm-hmm. It keeps going up every year. It went up a lot this year because the solvency is based on the minimum wage, Mexican minimum wage, and it really went up this year. So the financial requirements kind of jumped, but they go up every year because the minimum wage changes. So people, they say there's been a decline in people moving to Mexico because of that. I don't know if that's true or not.
So for like a non-working retirement visa, is there a specific amount? Like, is it 30,000 maybe that you have to prove that you have income?
I think it's gone up. I think it's 40. You have to prove a minimum balance of 45 over the course of 12 months. Does that make sense? So yeah. Each month has to be 45,000 savings. Hmm. pension or Social Security or other income, a single person, I think, is $3,400 a month. For a couple, it's more. There's a program going on now that if you visited Mexico anytime before 2019, you can get a permanent, you can get a temporary residency good for 4 years without having to show any kind of financial wherewithal. So those, they're waived. It has to do with the pandemic, but there are some facilitators in town who help people kind of win their way through that process because it's very bureaucratic.
Yeah.
But if you visited Mexico prior to 2019, there's a way for you to get residency. But again, that's a government program. They don't know how long it's going to last. It could stop tomorrow, could be extended, you never know.
Right. And once you get residency, what's the path to citizenship? How many years does it take? 5, 10? Do you know?
It depends on your age. Plus, you have to pass a test. You have to pass a history test. You have to pass a Spanish test. And I think if you're 65 or over, all you have to do is do the Spanish test.
Okay.
But the really thing, only thing citizenship gives you is
voting rights.
Voting, you get voting rights. Work, you can work, but you can do that with a permanent residency card.
Gotcha.
You don't really need to have citizenship.
So living there for
the benefit of it, really.
Right. So living there for 6 years, what would you say are the cons? Are there any cons that you can think of?
The traffic.
Mm-hmm.
More people like me. More expats. This place is like...
It's full of expats now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? The infrastructure. The property taxes are very low here. So the cobblestone streets, they're very charming, but they will wreck the suspension on your car. Potholes in the street, it takes them a long time. In my neighborhood, I had a huge pothole, and the neighbors just went and covered it up with tarp and other rocks.
Yeah, because it'll take forever to get fixed.
Yeah, so you can do that.
And that's a con.
Another thing that I find kind of cool is that people will open up their garage and have like a pop-up restaurant.
Oh.
I have a friend, and she's a very cool person. She was in the punk rock era in London. Back in the 70s and 80s.
Hmm.
She knew a lot of punk. I mean, she's our age now. She's in her 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is what she did. And you can do this in Mexico. She cut a hole in the front of her house and installed a coffee bar.
Oh, my God.
So people, she's got espresso, lattes. She named her cafe after this saint who loved pound cake, Saint Esposito. So that's her only thing that she serves, pound cake, cappuccinos, coffee, but she cut a hole out in the front of her house.
That's
she's
crazy.
In my neighborhood. She's she's in my neighborhood. She's great. She's a lot of fun with her stories. She's got so many punk rock stories. And I'm not going to tell you who it was, because she doesn't like to say it. But she was married to the drummer of a very big band. I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
It is. But anyway, you can do that here. She cut a hole
in that house.
In that house, and she has like a cafe bar.
That's hysterical. In wrapping up, Mick, yes. What would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to San Miguel?
What I would do is I would come down for maybe 2 weeks and really give it a good look around.
At least 2 weeks.
I would say, 2 weeks. Because in those 2 weeks, I would go to a couple of the surrounding areas, which sometimes people don't make time for. They're only focused on the Centro. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of different other interesting areas, like Guanajuato, which is about an hour away. It is a beautiful, beautiful little colonial city. It's the home of one of the major universities. So it's got a tremendous amount of energy, creative energy. Mm-hmm. With the young kids, it's great. You see people sketching, and there's a lot of creative stuff there. There are the hot springs outside of town, which are worth a visit. I actually might start in Mexico City and then make my way to San Miguel. And then you would get a really good, really good flavor. If you want to come to Mexico, it's a soft landing, especially in San Miguel. People say it's Disney-fied, but I don't agree with that, because it's still got the 16th, 17th century architecture.
Right.
Where are the theme rides? It's the same buildings that were here 300 years ago. So come and check it out. And if you're, like I said, a very soft landing, it's very easy to get acclimated. There are plenty of things to do. You know, you can have a really good time. And if you come during one of the festival, like Day of the Dead, or like one of the chamber groups, you can have a very rich experience here.
Oh, and sounds like another place for my bucket list. That bucket list is getting bigger and bigger all the time. But
you have a friend here, so I'm more than happy to show you around. And if your audience has any questions, if you want to include my email at the end with any show notes, I'm more than
willing to answer. That would be great.
Any questions that they have?
That would be great, Mick. We appreciate it. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It's a pleasure knowing you and meeting you. And we will see you soon, okay? We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mark. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Me too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.